Take your Bibles, if you would, please, to John chapter 2 and Genesis chapter 2. Shall we stand together? John chapter 2 and Genesis chapter 2. We read two verses out of John and then four out of the verse out of Genesis. But John chapter 2, verse 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. Take your Bibles now to the book of Genesis chapter 2. And we'll begin reading at verse 15 down through verse 18. Genesis 2 verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. In verse 18, the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for marriage. We thank you, Lord, that you have a plan. And we know, Lord, that man often tries to alter the plan. But Lord, we know that there is peace in your plans. And we ask this in your name, that we would have peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you sit down, why don't you greet somebody nearby? Thank you, and you may be seated. And we will continue reading there in Genesis chapter 2, beginning at verse 19, Genesis 2, 19. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. God ordained the union of one man to one woman. But man, under the influence of the devil, has perverted the plan of man, of God. It is important to remember homosexuality is wrong in the eyes of our Creator God. But so is the immoral sexual activity of the heterosexual individual also. So don't point your finger at a homosexual and say, well, they're wrong if we are immoral in our own lives. The intimacy between a man and his wife, the woman and her husband, is a gift from God. Sexual interaction between unmarried individuals is the same as shoplifting. It is robbery. Premarital sex is stealing God's blessing to the marriage. It is his wedding gift. We've all been to a marriage ceremony and heard the pastor say something like this. We are gathered together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the sight of God and these witnesses to share in the joined together of these two. And I've heard friends or individuals or these two people or these two adults, the bonds of marriage are honorable and are in holy estate, which was established before the fall of man and supported by the teachings and first miracle of our Lord. The Apostle Paul compared the marriage union with the mystical and glorious union that exists between Christ and his church. The marriage of a man and a woman picture the marriage of Christ and his church. Marriage is not to be entered into lightly or unadvisedly, but reverently, soberly, and in the fear of God. Gloria Wolkin of Rochester Hills, Michigan says, "You may not find Mr. Right for many years, but that's not the reason to lose your virginity, get depressed over your singleness, or settle for second best. Finally married at 45, I know that God's best, although not easy to wait for, was worth the wait." And I believe that men and women oftentimes get in a little bit of hurry. Genesis 2:24, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Now we all know what today is, right? It's the 14th day of February. But it's also called Valentine's Day. Now, I'm not going to ask you if you gave any Valentines. That's none of my business. I do know this, that Donna's three furry kids gave her one this morning. And they didn't give me one, but they gave her one. You know, it's a showing of love, isn't it? But cleave is an interesting word. On the one hand, it means to detach, to divide, to rend, or to split. It's like the term cleaver. What do you do with a cleaver? Well, you use it to cut things, right? But on the other hand, it means to adhere, to cling to hold firmly, to support and or sustain. And in the marriage ceremony, the word cleave never means to let go. It means to never let go. It means to commit oneself to the task and to be willing to fulfill that commitment. I have given this statement before. You've heard me say it. There's only one reason for divorce. It's called selfishness. You can throw whatever word you want to throw into that. Immorality, gambling addictions, beatings, whatever. It all leads back to what? Selfishness. It's, I want this. We must be careful. I'd like to read you some one ads for people. I can never remember what the term is that when you have those personals. Found in the Billingham, Washington Herald, SW Coconut, 45, looking for a real peach to make a pear. No lemons or sour grapes. Ad in the Hartford, Connecticut Current, DWM, 6 foot, well off, educated, good looking, seeks slim lady. Hey, I didn't write it. I like this one. Seen in the Portland, Oregon Willamette Week, 46, witty, brilliant, handsome, good dancer, romantic, humble. Listen carefully to this one. I think I know what he does for a living. In the Heartline section of the Birmingham, Alabama News, spectacular view, solid foundation, excellent schooling, older neighborhood, zone professional, must see to appreciate, fire in the fireplace, call now, won't last long. I wonder how that worked. Spotted in the matchmaker section of the Amarillo, Texas Premier Shopper. Twice divorced lady needs barely tolerable man with vulgar social graces, below average looks, and inconsequential means for occasional dates as a reminder to remain uninvolved. Marriage. I saw a post yesterday by Wendell Hires. In it, he had 11 pictures of men that were shopping with their wives. The men were all sitting in chairs, sleeping, looking at their watches, piled with gifts on their, or things on their laps. There's a difference, isn't it, between men and women? We know that. Some of you were married and you've lost your spouse for one reason or another. Many of you have gone through the pains of divorce. Some of you have had your spouse pass away. Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." I know this, that my wife has had to put up with me for 42 years plus. Please, no amens on that she's had to put up with me. But for 42 years, we've walked together. I would like to be able to say that Donna has never done anything wrong. Come on, folks. And I know she'd like to be able to say, I've never done anything wrong. Probably this morning when I wouldn't eat the oatmeal, she probably thought, you little baby. It didn't taste good. But that's life, right? You learn to accept certain things. But I would like to share 10 suggestions to help cultivate harmony in your home, even if you live by yourself. And remember, these are simple suggestions, and they are not listed in order of importance. 10 things. 1, never consider divorce as an option. Never consider divorce as an option. I remember in the first days of our marriage, you know, there's the honeymoon, and you're all excited about living with each other, and you're waiting, and now the wait is over, and everything seems pleasant. What happens? Reality hits. The honeymoon is over. And, you know, things happen. And I'm not going to tell you that in the 42 plus years that Don and I have been married, that everything has just been a rosy bowl of cherries. There have been difficult times. There have been times in which she probably looked at me and said, what in the world did I ever see in that guy? Why didn't I listen? No, I don't think your mother ever said that. Yeah. Donna thought for a while that her mother liked me better than her, which was never true, of course. But never consider divorce as an option. Number 2, be willing to forgive. Now, let me say something here. In the vows, there is the married for better or for worse. I don't believe if a man is beating his wife, that includes that. Okay? If he's beating his wife, I don't believe that for a moment, that it's for better or worse. That it's talking about better and for worse if richer and poorer, in health, times of illness. But if the wife is cheating on the husband and running around, I don't believe it includes that. Now, you're saying, well, what are you saying, Pastor Paul? I'm saying that when you get married for a reason, and that married reason is love, and you're going to do your best for your mate. Okay? But I'm sick and tired of people saying, well, she married for better or for worse. Man, if he's beating the kids and beating the wife, I don't think she has to stay with him. Now, if you disagree with me, afterwards, please come up and explain to me why you think a woman should have to live with a husband that beats her. Okay? Now, separation is one thing, beating is another. Drug abuse, alcohol abuse, spending, wasting all the money gambling, this is just pure selfishness. And I think that we have times in which we try to make people feel bad because they can't live in certain situations. Now you say, well, Pastor Paul, what do you think about remarriage? I believe that if a church gets away from God, God still wants that church to come back. He wants to be reconciled with that church. A friend of mine, Kim, we were in college together. I've told you the story. I'd like to tell you again. Kim was in my wedding as I got married right here. There was my brother, and there was Vernon Swafford and Kim Robinson. He was one of my best men. And Kim married Susan. Susan, I believe, was from Florida. No, she was from Texas. He was from Michigan. She was from Texas. They got married. That should work out well, though, shouldn't it? Problem was that Kim came from a very simple family, and Susan came from a very prosperous family. It's a rough situation when the girl has come from a family where she's had everything she's ever wanted. They were married. They had, I believe, 3 kids. She left him. I remember when the Christmas card came saying, Kim, and then in parentheses, Susan has left me. It was hard. Left the kids too. Left him and the kids. 1 year went by, 2 years went by, 4 years went by, 6 years went by, 7 years went by, 8 years went by, 9 years went by, 10 years went by. Christmas card. Kim and Susan. Parentheses. She has come back. See, I believe that God wants us to wait because he wants us to reconcile. So don't say, well, Pastor Paul, that means I can get divorced and get married. No, I don't say that, did I? If you read the New Testament, the Lord tells us to be very careful when we remarry. But I don't believe that a man or a woman has to put up with abuse. And separation sometimes is necessary. We find that he is to cleave, and we need to be willing to forgive. Number 3, to communicate. One of the biggest problems in our lives is we are not communicating verbally with each other. I don't consider sending texts communicating verbally. A recent survey suggests the average couple watches 20 to 40 hours of TV together, but has less than an hour of conversation in the average week. Watching TV together is not being together. You say, Pastor Paul, you're together. No, you're not. I think we need to be willing to communicate. Number 4, be tender-hearted. Be tender-hearted. I know this, there are a lot of people who are just plain mean. They just are. They are just plain mean. And because they're mean, they're miserable, and they're miserable to everybody. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you're married to one of those people. But may I say this? There are miserable people out there, and God will allow us to be as miserable as we want to be. Does he want us to be miserable? He does not. He says, come unto me and I'll give you rest. But we're running as hard as we can away from God. You may have a kid that's that way. You may have a family member that way. Running from God, trying to act like they're happy, but they're miserable. But be tender-hearted. Remove selfishness. Oh, that's hard in today's world, isn't it? Remove selfishness. May I say this? I have counseled a lot of people, more than I want to talk about. You know what happens when a couple comes to counseling? He wants to talk. What does he want to do? Wants to defend himself. What does she want to do? She wants to defend herself. What do they want me to do? They want me to side with them. I can never fix it. You know, if they'd been spending 15 years getting to a place where they're angry enough to come to see me, do you think I'm going to be able to take care of it in 5 minutes or 10 minutes? You know what they want? They want someone to agree with them. You know what the number one problem in marriage is selfishness. It comes in all kinds of forms. Selfishness. You remove selfishness out of your life, it's going to help an awful lot, isn't it? But selfishness will bring down a marriage faster than anything. So remove selfishness. Don't compare. That's number six. Do not compare. Do you ever look at someone else's house and say, boy, I wish my house was as nice as that? Maybe God didn't want you to have a house as nice as that. Do you ever think about that? Boy, I wish I had a car as nice as that. Don and I were coming back from Ohio, actually from Kentucky yesterday, and we're coming through Ohio, and this car came flying by. Oh, was it nice looking. I thought, wow. I thought, should I try to keep up with them and show off? Say, you can't outrun me. I couldn't keep up with them. But we can get jealous, can't we? Jealousy leads to bitterness. Bitterness leads to anger. And anger leads to all kinds of problems. Don't compare. Number seven, always look for ways to improve yourself for your spouse's benefit. When counseling someone before a marriage, I say, don't marry that person with the idea you're going to change them. You say, well, they need to change. You're not going to change them. I don't care how much you nag them. You want them to change, you pray that the Lord will change them. Always look for ways to improve yourself. Is there something you can do better? I know there is in my own life. I'm constantly trying, and I fail. But you try to get back up and keep going, right? Number eight, do something every day to please your partner in marriage. There was a time in which if you said your partner, it meant your husband or your wife. Today, have you noticed when they say partner, they don't mean necessarily your husband or your wife. It's just who you're having sex with now. But do something every day to please the one with whom you are married. Something to please them. They may not even notice. They may not. I think it's good to give something without expecting to receive something back. Number nine, pray together. I think it's good to pray. Pray for at your dinner time to pray. I would dare say all of us need to pray more with each other. And number 10, attend the house of God whenever the doors are open. Attend the house of God. I believe being in the house of God is a positive thing. Not that there aren't divorces with people that go to church. Do you think going to church will keep you from having a divorce? Friend of mine, Jim Hopkins, some of you know Jim. He used to be the youth director out here at First Baptist Church of Washington. He now is the pastor of Gilead Baptist Church. It's in Taylor. It's the Gilead Baptist Church where my dad got saved. Then it was in Detroit. Now it's moved out to Taylor. Sunday morning, youth department is all amazed at what's happening with two families in the church. Brother Jim is the pastor there now, and he's thinking, what in the world's going on? So he pulls in the two teenagers that are having issues, and one is the from one family, and one is from another family, and the one is pointing at the other and said, his dad's trying to steal my mother. So he called the two couples in. The boy was there with his parents. The girl was there with her parents. And suddenly the two couples split and they swapped. And they took each other's hands and they said, we've fallen in love with each other. It's between church and Sunday school. He's got to preach after this. And he tells them, he says, wait a minute. He says, this is not right. And they said, oh, we have fallen in love with each other. Do you believe that statement that they have fallen in love with each other? No. You say, well, going to church should keep us. No, you've got to keep yourself where you belong. You agree with that? You've got to do it. You've got to keep your eyes where they belong. You've got to keep your touch where it belongs. You know, the Bible tells you, us guys, it's good for us not to touch a woman. Well, what's that mean? There's only one woman in this building I should be going around touching, right? Okay? This one. And ladies, if you want your eyes, you don't let me touch you. You say, why? Well, she might tear your eyes out. She's very possessive. Sunday school, a number of years ago, when I was teaching downstairs the young adult class, woman wouldn't leave the Sunday school room. She came up beside me and stood, I mean, about that close. And she wanted to talk to me. Donna saw it, and she stayed in the room. And the woman said to Donna, well, you can leave. Donna said, I'm not leaving. Again, she said, you need to leave. I need to talk to your husband. Donna says, I'm not leaving. Woman got mad. Now, I know it's hard for you to believe that there could be two women that would find me debonair and good looking. We got home. There was a message on the phone. You know how you remember you used to have the answering machines at your house? My dad still does. All right. Yeah, some of you still do. Message on the phone that said, I'm pregnant. And you know who the father is? That was not nice of her, was it? I was not that woman's. I don't know if she was pregnant. She wasn't pregnant. Be careful. Be careful. Women, you need to protect your husbands. And men, you need to protect your wives. Marriage is very important in the sight of God. It's a picture of God's love for the church. And Jesus tells us, or the book, Ephesians tells us, that Jesus was willing to what for his wife, his bride? To die. To cleave. Now, we all show love in different ways. Some do it by touch, some do it by speaking, some do it by doing certain tasks, some do it by giving. That's my love language, is to give. We have different love languages, but we need to be willing to love one another back and forth. Don is my best friend, and I don't always know how to handle that. But the fact of the matter is, God brought us together. I think it's important that we as Christians do our best to keep our marriages together. I know sometimes it's hard. I know sometimes there are difficulties. But may I close with this? Who am I responsible to? God. What if Donna ran around on me? That's almost funny. What if she ran around and moved? That give me the right to run around? No. What if your husband is spending all the money gambling? Does that give you a right to go out and do something wrong? No. You need to make sure that you are right, because two wrongs never make a right. Make sure that you have the right attitude for your mate. Is an attitude a major part of life? And remember this, nobody's perfect, and nobody probably can make tuna noodle casserole like your mother. Let's stand together, if you would, please. On this Valentine's Day, day that we talk about marriage and love and the giving of candy and the giving of jewelry and the giving of cards and taking people out to eat and showing love, may we always remember to love our Lord. He was willing to to die for us. And that's what love is. The book of Corinthians, chapter 13, verse 13. Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Charity is love in action. My mother said it was unconditional love. May I say this, we should have love for our Lord, and we should love our mate if we're so fortunate to have one. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this invitation time, Lord, we ask that those who are married be willing to recommit themselves. May we that are looking for someone, may, Lord, we also commit ourselves to you. And Lord, we just ask that we would be found faithful in your eyes when you call us home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.